tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon.
What's up?
What's up, everybody?
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man over there, Boothman.
Yeah!
Guys, very exciting show for you tonight.
Very exciting.
We have two awesome guests we're going to introduce in a little bit. But first, I wanted to tell you guys a story.
Oh, right. This better be about rock and roll.
Yeah, it's about my daughter.
Oh, this is not rock and roll. That's folk music.
Okay,
baby.
Well, last week on the show, we had Joe Kelly, and he's doing the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They had a launch party for Ultimate Spider-Man at Midtown Comics that I took my daughter to because she...
Bring your daughter to comic book events.
Well, she's at the point where she can recognize Spider-Man. That's basically what she is. She doesn't know anything about Spider-Man.
How many hours a day do you flash pictures in front of her face?
24. She doesn't sleep.
What's the sound it makes?
Thwip, thwip, daddy! Anyway, so we went to the Ultimate Spider-Man event, and as we were going there, I was telling her, you know, we're going to see the premiere of the show. We're going to meet the guys who make the show. That should be a lot of fun for you, two-year-old.
Does she talk or think?
She was just rolling around and vomiting most of the time.
I don't have a baby, so I don't know how it works.
But here's what happened, right? So I told her we were going to the Spider-Man event, and she said, oh, is Spider-Man going to be there? And I said, well, I don't know. And she said, I'd like to meet Spider-Man. I'd like to give him a hug. And I was like, oh.
Do you lie?
That would be really cute.
Do you lie? Alex?
No, I said, I don't know. I thought maybe there'd be a costume Spider-Man there or something like
that. Not the Spider-Man,
though. This isn't the point of the story, though. The point of the story was she then said, oh, are his parents going to be there?
Ooh.
And I was like, I took a pause and I said, I don't think his parents are going to be there.
You're like, their continuity is sort of mired. They may have been secret agents. They may have died in a certain...
And then she paused and thought again and she said, oh, okay, will his uncle be there?
Oh, no!
Wow.
And so I said, we're going home.
Wow.
No, I took it there. We had a nice time. But we tried to explain it. She's like, I'm not interested in wheat cakes. Thanks, Dad.
Wow.
Anyway, guys, we have two great guests for you on the show tonight. Very excited about them. They are from Comedy Central's show, Ugly Americans, which is every Wednesday at 10:30 after South Park. Ladies and gentlemen, Devin Clark and Kurt Metzger.
Yeah!
Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Things are coming out tonight, guys.
Grab mics.
Oh, yeah, grab your mics. I think
you're
sitting on your mic.
Yep.
We're gonna.
It's underneath that pillow.
Well, I have a couple of
questions.
It's
hidden. It's an Easter egg.
You still don't know what Easter eggs are?
Nope. But Easter's coming. I'll find out soon.
It's like Game of Thrones.
No,
Easter is coming.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Oh hell yeah,
dude! I haven't watched one episode because I feel like I gotta have a bunch of them together. Because you're going to have to watch them
together.
There's an entire
first season. I'm going to have to watch, like how I do Breaking Bad, like all of them at once.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, I can't imagine, like, Peter Dinklage shouting orders at me.
Well, you will.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you will love
you'll believe.
That.
Best part. He's the best.
Yeah,
he's
that's the tagline of the show is you will believe Peter Dinklage will shout orders at you.
Yeah.
Do people, I mean, would you pay attention to a little man?
You know, I don't know if I would person, country. But on that show, he runs shit.
Yeah.
Especially in the new season.
Like, are you supposed to just buy it because it's medieval times and they thought they were more magic or something? I don't buy it, dude.
But what if, like, a kid walk up to you and you're like, look at this kid, it's harmless, and then it was a dude?
A kid can't be a dude? What do you mean?
Like a kid who's like a dude who could hit you and they have a sword.
What are you saying?
That would be terrifying.
See?
You might be baffled.
I think I proved my point.
Yeah, great. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It was lovely having you here. Enjoy the show. Goodbye. No, I'm kidding. So, Ugly Americans, let's talk about it. You guys are almost done with the second season now. You have a couple of episodes left, but you actually have a couple of sort of comic booky themed episodes coming up, right?
Yeah, I guess when this airs, the night of Wednesday next week, I guess, whatever,
yeah,
we have
yeah.
a...
Nice.
Time travel.
The episode is called The Stalking Dead.
Okay.
It's a little, like, single white female-esque. We have a guest voice, Dan Fogler, very funny man. And obvious references there. And then the one I think that's airing after that is called The Dork Knight.
Is there wordplay going on here? Yeah.
That's wordplay.
That's how you title cartoons, dude, with clever wordplay that no one could ever have thought of.
We should do wordplay.
It's above our
We should do
grade.
Birdplay.
Yeah.
What?
Good try. That's our first attempt.
Let's talk about The Dark Knight. So it's a parody I mean, there's references to Batman in it a little bit.
So unlike shows like South Park where they can turn around an episode in like a week, it takes us about 7 to 8 months for us to turn around an episode.
Okay. Wow.
But we knew when we were working on the second half of our second season that the third Batman movie would be coming out. So we're like, all right, we got to do one. We didn't want it to be just all Nolan Batman stuff. So we homage like the 60s TV show. I mean, just nice. Every, you know, every Batman movie and iteration of him ever, we try to like, you know, play homage to within this episode. And so Mark is bitten by a bat boy. Mark is our main character, if you guys don't know the show.
Yeah.
He goes through a little transformation and decides that that's an opportunity to fight crime.
He grows nipples on all his clothing.
Exactly. And
has a huge
codpiece.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And he uses that to fight crime.
Cool. During this episode, you play Randall the zombie. What's Randall doing during this episode?
I think that's when Randall starts his own car service.
It's
like a taxi cab confessions, but he ends up driving celebrities all the time and then getting them to just recording them saying crazy shit.
All the celebrities are actors from other Batman movies that he has.
Christian Bale. But then like we couldn't talk about Batman. It was really weird too because we couldn't mention Batman on this thing.
Right.
It's very hard to
You couldn't
get
say
sued.
The word Batman.
Right.
You don't want to get
this
sued.
This is parody you know, homage, right.
Right, right.
Yeah. Could you say homage?
Could you maybe say Bartman?
Right, right.
That's what I said. There's a Bartman. Yeah.
That's an even harder copyright to get around. Because if you can do the Bartman, you're bad like Michael Jackson, if I remember correctly.
Oh, my God.
Is that the deep breath for the show?
You made this whole crowd of nerds groan with that.
Yeah. That's not easy. That's not easy.
Cool.
It's an unrecoverable.
So what else?
Here, just turn it off.
That, you
we
have one
go.
More episode in the season on Ugly Americans.
The last one is kind of an homage to one of the biggest influences on the show is like 80s horror films. And so I don't know if you guys know the horror film April Fool's Day. Is kind of like you know, where they play pranks and murder people. You know,
that's a smart. That's smart.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have a kind of homage to April Fool's Day.
Awesome.
Coming in late, though, you know.
Yeah.
It's like at the end of April.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You predicted Dark Knight, but April Fool's Day sort of caught you off guard.
Like I said, 7 to 8 months, you know. Yeah. We can't always get them right on the money.
I know. It's tough.
We
it's
try.
Tough. Yeah.
So I'm curious, going into the second season, and I guess finishing off now the second season, what has changed about the show for you? What's changed in the process? And looking forward to a third season, where do you see the show going from there?
Well, I think, you know, just having gone through the whole first season, we got such a better handle on the world and, like, the humor and also the characters, you know. We have such a phenomenal group of voice actors doing the voices for
Except
the characters.
Except Kurt.
Yeah. Minus Kurt.
I got it.
I didn't want to say it. Thank you.
I'm someone's nephew.
Someone? Yeah. Yeah. Figure out who that is.
Yeah. Nepotism, yes. Yeah. But the... And so, I mean, they just brought a whole other layer to the characters, and the writers figured out, like, the different nuances and layers they could take, the humor, and just, you know, for instance, Twain was just kind of like a very two-dimensional, evil, demonic boss, and Michael Leon Woolley is such a funny guy and has such a range. We realized that we could also do this whole, like, Twain is a naive, like, mama's boy, too. So I think the second season we were able to play around the characters and, like, the layers and nuances of them a lot more. Yeah.
Do you feel that, too? Have you been able to layer your character more?
I like new footy pajamas Twain a lot better.
Yeah.
But I think my character, you guys kind of changed it around me, didn't you? Because it was a different thing. When I auditioned, it was like a Boston accent or some dumb shit they wanted.
He was
like a surfer
really,
dude.
It was something. Ruined the show.
It was terrible. And I'm like, I'm not saying these lines. I just made them all up.
Yeah. And they were like, cast that guy.
Yeah.
We didn't even hire him. He just kept coming in, and he was like, this is me, and we had to change the design of the character.
I'm very tall compared to them. I just go where I want.
Intimidating.
Yeah. I knew that was the trick.
We were chatting about comic books a little bit before the show. I don't know why exactly.
Okay, yeah.
But, Devin, for you, you were saying you don't really read superhero stuff, but you've been keeping up with Ed Brubaker and a couple of other things like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously being a huge fan of horror and kind of the darker genres, BPRB and Brubaker, Brubaker stuff kind of taps into like the stuff that I dig a little more. But yeah, that's definitely things I'm getting.
Have you been keeping up with BPRD at all?
Oh yeah, anything of that. Also, Lock and Key. I've been liking.
Oh yeah, that's huge. We love that.
Yeah,
comic.
I mean, there's so few like horror comics. I'm surprised, but that one's awesome. That one's a good one.
It feels like on the show you would have a potential of working in refs to that stuff. Do you ever do that?
We haven't. You know, it's funny. I think besides the obvious like EC Comics reference stuff, just within the look of the show, we haven't really tapped into any of the modern comic stuff at all. Within
it might
like,
be
the
a great
lines.
Easter egg.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Dude, I always thought that Koala Man was from Crying Freeman, the manga. Do you know what I'm talking about? When he got to cry, like, because Koala Man cries and murders.
Yeah. Right, well, he started crying before we realized that he was also a murderer, though, or an assassin.
He has this psychic wound.
Right, well, now we know this. We know he's got this whole backstory of, like, wiping out whole villages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the pain.
That's a terrifying vision for the future.
Yeah, that's great.
Murder Bear.
Murder Bear!
Kurt, for you, you were saying that you've been playing. Is that?
Your nickname is Murder Bear?
In what circles?
What? I don't have to tell you my private...
okay, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have asked. I shouldn't have asked.
Kurt, for you, you were talking about you've been playing DC Universe Online a lot.
Oh, yeah, I got sucked back into that. Dude, it's really... here's how you know, in real life, why they couldn't be superheroes, because in the game...
What?
Yeah, in DC Universe... You ever play DC Universe?
Yeah.
You play it?
Yeah.
Who's your guy?
You mean,
who's your tune on DC Universe if you play it?
Geez,
what's your
Who's lying?
Murder Bear?
What's your avatar?
Murder Bear is a good name.
Yeah.
Mine is Zen Shootist is my guy. And it's just like, the gang element of it is unbelievable. Like where you form like, they're supposed to be leagues of heroes, but really you're like prison gangs. And then, you know, socially you just fight with these other people over like, new hats and shit, like viciously. Like I said, vicious things to people online, and then there's a snapshot thing on it. So like, there's people as playing as villains. So you beat them up, and then try to make it look like they're blowing you with the snapshots.
I mean,
I'm telling you, that's what is degenerating.
That's so essentially what's happening in the DC universe as well.
Yeah. That's the reboot of DC.
So a lot of it's based on your work in the.
Everybody does that, dude. That's what if there were real heroes flying around, they would be that.
It'd be
them fighting over new boots and shit and then raping each other.
Are most of the quests in DC Universe Online just like going around and trying to give other people blowjobs? Is that what's going on?
It's awesome.
It's teabag.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you knock them unconscious and then you position them in.
Right. Listen, I didn't invent what goes on in these games. I'm telling you how it is, okay?
So you're the main programmer of DC Universe Online. That's
what you're saying?
You're the main programmer.
Your blowjob animations
are
stunning.
Right.
So specific.
I'd like to talk to them.
Detailed. The sound effects are real.
Yeah,
how do you record those?
They have a setting in the menu where you can take little snapshots. Because you know, there's little emotes and stuff. Like, I never played... What's the big one? World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
So you can make your guy dance and do little social things. So then just people find ways to make it look like sexual activities.
Yeah.
And then when you're fighting bosses, like let's say you're playing... you're fighting Black Adam.
Right.
In Kondak. The people will try to get in the picture and like play with his nipples while the cutscene's going on.
Is he like, Shazam?
Yeah.
I've done that for hours. I've literally spent hours perfecting. I'm not making any of that up.
I feel like there's games from Japan that might be more suited for you.
Yeah. Listen, everyone does that. It's like... Listen, it's like going to prison. Like, you could judge me, but if you get there, you're going to have to do some shit to survive.
Right. Right. Life lessons.
Granted. Yeah,
learn it now, guys. Learn it now.
Right. It's like going to college.
Guys, DC Universe Online is on Comedy Central. No, I'm kidding. Hunt the Americans is on Comedy Central 10:30 on Wednesdays. The rest of the season is playing out over the next 3 weeks or so, so definitely check that out. There's going to be Dan Fogler, Janine Garofalo, a bunch of other people are going to be on, so it should be awesome.
Very
playing
awesome.
Right after South Park. And now we're going to go on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
All right, guys, the way we do The Stack is each one of us has made a pick, some particular comic book that we really like this week and we're going to go back for. So, of course, we're going to go to Pete's pick first, except we're totally not.
What?
We're actually going to talk about coming out probably right now, time-wise, 1 minute ago, on stands, Avengers vs. X-Men, number one from Marvel Comics. Which we were lucky enough to snag a copy from after killing Joe Quesada.
Yep.
If I whisper it, nobody finds out, right?
We took his copy.
R.I.P.
He's like, what am I going to read on the toilet?
So for those of you guys who don't know, Avengers versus X-Men, pretty straightforward concept for what's going on. Complicate things a little bit. There's this being called the Phoenix that is coming towards Earth. It's either going to destroy Earth or potentially make Earth a happy place. We don't know. Either way.
I guess you don't know.
And the X-Men are like, maybe it'll be happy. And Avengers are like, I think it's going to be bad. I'm trying to explain this to my daughter who's watching at home.
Yeah, oh, good.
Stop gearing everything towards
her.
This
take,
is the only reason
back,
I'm doing
bro.
This show, you guys.
Talk to your daughter? Yeah. Connect with her over other things.
But this is big comic book, potentially the biggest selling comic book of the year. Lots of hype surrounding this. So what do you guys think? Does it hold up to the hype?
Well, what was interesting to me was the build-up, like, how are we going to choose sides? What's going to be the thing that, okay, there's no way we're going to have to fight each other? And it was really, I was a little disappointed because I was like, guys, we could have talked this out a little bit before we went to blows. It was like, okay, the Phoenix is coming.
Oh, you want to read Avengers chat with X-Men?
Yeah, I want Avengers chat
with
X-Men.
Well, let's see if we can get that going.
Yeah, but it was just surprising to me.
I loved your goulash, Wolverine. It's really good. So meaty.
I'm the best there is at making goulash. It's not very pretty.
So, but immediately goulash. It was just like, big event happening. What are your thoughts? These are mine. I now hate you. We're going to fight.
Well, that's how you sort of run your life in general.
Yeah. Justin, what did you think about this?
I liked it a lot. I feel bad. Cyclops is a dick always.
Always?
Like, he used to be like a nice guy.
When?
When he was younger. Like,
he was always the serious guy.
Yeah, but he was serious, but he was, like, still liked people, and he wasn't, like, just shooting his eye beams off willy-nilly.
Is that what he's doing? Willy-nilly shooting?
Willy-nilly shooting.
Like, he might as well look at you.
And hey, what's this bald Colossus? When did that happen?
He's getting older. We're all getting older.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, alopecia tore apart.
I thought he's made out of...
It's a shame. It was a six-part arc in the X-Men.
By the way, I haven't followed it. I didn't even know there's a Red Hulk that's... Betty's dad, he's a Red Hulk.
Yeah.
Is he a little cooler to the other Hulk now that he kind of...
No.
Remember how judgmental he was to the Hulk all the time?
Exactly. No,
they only get along at Christmas. That's when they work together.
Oh, that's a real... That's a color joke. Apologies to the colorblind folks in the crowd.
Yeah, sorry, you guys. I know 50% of our audience is colorblind.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you...
Please explain these comics to me.
Yeah, I like this. I think John Romita Jr.'s pencils are good.
Awesome.
Brian Bendis' script is really solid. This is a good kickoff. It's pretty much set up. You get to the point of... Okay, Avengers are going to fight the X-Men, and then you're left off there.
I love it. On the cover page, there's a bunch of pictures of all the Avengers, and there are like 25 of them, and all the X-Men, there are like 7. And then right in the middle on the line is Wolverine, and he's and Beast, and they're like, well, I don't know. What do you want us to do?
Haven't decided yet.
Did you guys get a chance to look through this at all?
I haven't looked at this one. I looked at the other ones. But if I wrote this, dude, it would be like really organic, their fight, you know? Like, just be hanging out somewhere like groups, and then like somebody would say something. And I'd be like, dude, just don't even look over there. Just be cool. We're just trying to have
like a playground
style. Yeah, and then it would slowly... That's how it works in DC Universe, by the way.
Right.
I can rewrite this whole
thing. That game's really coloring your life.
Yeah. You know what I actually liked even better than this? And again, I think this is a really good, really solid kickoff for a big event. We're just going to have to see how the fights pan out, how much fun it is. Packaged along with this, if you bought this comic book, you also get an Infinite Comic, which is a digital comic book specifically formatted for digital, written by Mark Waid, pencils by Stuart Immonen, I think.
Okay.
That was great.
That was really amazing.
That was awesome. That basically shows how this character called Nova is trying to race to Earth to get there before the Phoenix goes to warn everybody. The techniques in there are really cool and really exciting,
and I
can't wait to see more than that.
It's
I think that's
gorgeous.
Really great and worth the price of this comic book alone.
It's infinite.
Yeah.
It's an infinite... I paid infinite dollars for this comic.
You pay for what you get.
I can't
you
pay
got
that
an infinite
much.
Comic.
I have
you
to support a daughter.
No, she's got her shit figured out, to be fair.
Yeah, she knows who Spider-Man is, you guys. So Avengers versus X-Men, you say pick it up?
I thought it was good. Good start.
Awesome. All right, cool. Let's move on to our other picks. This is Pete's actual pick today. Aquaman number 7 from DC Comics. So, Pete, you've been loving this Aquaman title.
Yeah, since the relaunch, Aquaman has been really awesome. And this kind of introduces new characters, new old characters.
Yeah,
into Aquaman's universe. And it's exciting. Black Manta, it
You love
For me, it was always kind of a joke as well as Aquaman.
Yeah.
But this new kind of reintroduction.
Who's Black Manta fight? Who's this girl is fighting in this?
He just murders her. She's,
yeah.
Yeah, who is that?
We don't really know. She's a psychic.
Yeah.
Ow.
One thing you should know about psychics, murder them first. Because otherwise, it's going to get weird.
That was his policy.
You're so smart.
Wow. Classic policy. Yeah. I like this. I don't understand. Aquaman was never giving or receiving a blowjob throughout this at all.
Yeah, it was weird.
So I didn't really connect with it at all.
And I kept trying to click on it, and nothing happened.
Yeah, I know. I do that with so many things in my life.
You don't know what's happening here under that water.
You're right. It's a fair point.
Touché.
Yeah, if you can't see below his torso, he's probably getting a blowjob.
From a dolphin.
That's true in the real world for everyone.
Right, from a dolphin or a fish or anything under the water. This continuity now, he can't talk to fish, but he still gets blowjobs.
He can suggest stuff to them, I think. I think he can be like, give it a try.
Yeah, what do you think,
just
baby?
Poke it.
Just body language. Just be like, hey.
Yeah, there's no shame in that. Well, I mean, there's a lot of shame in that.
I got how he talked to fish, but I didn't understand why they had to obey him, you know?
Just be like, fuck off.
Like, I say stuff to fish all the fucking time. I have that same power.
Yeah, it's true. They just don't.
We can all
talk
to fish.
They just don't trust you.
Yeah, it's not.
They just don't trust you.
Yeah, they
don't. Right.
You got to earn
their
trust.
They've seen what I do.
Yeah, exactly. They're ashamed of you.
This is a great book, great art.
I did like this book. Aquaman, I feel like, has been so self-referential for the first six issues. It was like, isn't it weird that he's popular now? And this, it's nice to have a whole universe and feel like they're moving on to more.
My only qualm with it, and this is kind of a weird qualm, I wish there was more of it. It feels very light in terms of content.
Would you say that's a qualm before the storm?
Oh. Wow.
It's wordplay.
Guys, let's not lose the audience, please. Okay?
Let's move on with our pick. FF number 16 from Marvel Comics. Justin, you want to talk about that?
What?
Total silence.
This is a great comic. Fantastic Four, everyone's giving it shit because it's been so
mostly
dense.
Mostly audience.
Specifically, this gentleman in the front row. It's been very dense, and Jonathan Hickman, who is a dense writer, he writes really all this science stuff top to bottom.
Real dub, that guy.
No, not the opposite.
Oh, different meaning for dense?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He writes very densely. This comic actually is very good. It's finishing up the story, but propelling it forward. The last, like, four pages are awesome. I'll spoil it here. Valeria, the daughter of Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, is like, oh, I gave a little treat to Doom. Doom wakes up in this pile of rubble, puts on two Infinity Gauntlets, and then place there are. One of them's probably just like a glove.
Oh, right.
Why did you go like this with your hand?
Because that's how you put
like
gloves
when you
on.
Buy Hulk hands and one of them makes the noise,
exactly.
And the other one's just a Hulk hand.
Yeah. Exactly.
I get it.
He's got two gloves, and all these dooms are coming out of the woodwork, and then it's...
all these dooms.
Yeah, what are these dooms?
Actually, let's give Justin a chance to very simply explain what's going on.
Totally. So what happened is, at the beginning of Jonathan Hickman's arc, there was this league of different Mr. Fantastic from across different dimensions.
Right.
They all met in this one uber dimension. They faced off against a bunch of Celestials, who ended up going crazy. So then Valeria had to go through she had to travel back in time from a distant future, along with Franklin, to meet their younger selves and set up a battle with Galactus, who then died and then came back to life, who then fought against... Yeah. So it's slightly complicated and a little dense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
But there that's like Fantastic Four should be like that, right? That was always a...
Like, if these comics are like little snacks, this is like a big meal that makes you sleep afterwards.
I think the most important thing to know is that Galactus grew a porn stash. You can see on...
That's shade. Is that a mustache?
Most people don't know this. Yeah.
That's just shading, dude. Yeah.
No, that's a porn
stash. That's a Galactus mustache.
It's not shading.
Franklin has a mustache.
Older Franklin Richards is there, and there's a line actually on the next page where Galactus is like, let me make some room.
Yeah.
It's real creepy.
See, I was going to say Galactus...
They both have mustaches.
Galactus ate a pornographic planet and grew the porno mustache.
He ate out Ego the Living
Planet.
All right.
What?
Now you're upset.
I just said a pun.
Great.
That's fucked up. Which part did he eat out? Okay, never mind.
We'll talk later. we'll talk when you're older.
Yeah.
This issue is great. I've liked Fantastic Four just fine.
Yeah.
This provides a lot of emotional payoff, really big moments, really exciting. I thought it was a lot of fun. Really,
the art's awesome by Dragata. Great artist doing a bunch of different stuff now. Check it out.
Yeah, there we go.
The upsetting part is Franklin's kind of a douchebag.
Why?
Because he's like, me, I'm the greatest. So
he rewrote the universe. Give him a chance to be a bit of a dick about it.
Why? You just rewrote the universe? Can't you be cool about it?
Nah, I don't know. I would be like, yo, I did that.
Yeah, that's why you'll never do that.
What? Well, because you keep it a secret, you're like, oh, you're a hero?
Yeah, you're cool. You don't have to brag about yourself. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's like knowing about a bad before anybody else.
Cool. Then the Punisher should just wear a regular T-shirt.
Oh no, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, with no skull on it.
That's a warning to bad guys.
It's a warning.
Yeah.
No, if you see his shirt, he's about to shoot you.
I don't know where this conversation is going.
You lost.
Let's move on with my pick, which was The Flash, number 7 from DT Comics.
Yeah.
DC Comics, excuse me. I love The Flash. The Flash is probably my favorite comic book character. Really enjoyable. I've loved so many stories. I have not been 100% on board with the series. I feel like Francis Manapul's art has been great. Brian Buccellato, who's been working on the art with him and also co-writing with him.
Yeah.
They've been doing a solid job, but I feel like they've been getting around how to write a comic book because they're both relatively new at it.
They've been getting around it? Avoiding
they've
it?
Been
how do you do
it.
That?
Yeah.
It's never come out before. That's how they got around it.
Oh.
This issue is where it really crisped into focus. This is an amazing issue. Flash is fighting Captain Cold, his arch enemy. The art in here is superb.
Very good.
The layouts are amazing. There's real danger. The Flash makes, which he's supposed to do, but he makes split-second decisions that are possibly wrong. That put the entire world in danger to
he's
save
like,
somebody
but
he loves.
He's like so fast.
How, yeah. What?
The
he's
Flash?
He's so fast.
No.
The thing
no.
That I
in this
about
book, he's so fast.
He's fast and he runs fast and he's
like,
fast.
I know. I feel like he's just running everywhere.
Do you guys feel like he's
slow
fast
down,
in this issue?
Slow down, Flash.
Yeah, slow down. Think.
Well,
smell
here's my
the
question.
Roses.
Is he fast in this issue or is he very fast?
Great question.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to go out and say very fast.
He what makes a wormhole and hurts people.
Yeah. It's like time travel.
But why?
Why
does the Flash? Because when he's fighting Captain Cold in this one that I read, he's like, there's a certain point where he's beating him. He goes, "Hey, come on, Captain Cold. This isn't like you." What, like, why? What's that? Is Captain Cold not that much of an enemy to him or something? I don't understand that.
Sort of. He's like a shitty. He has this rogues gallery in there.
He's
like
a Mysterio
shitty.
Of enemies.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. Nice. That's a great comparison. Yeah.
Nice. Well
and so
done, sir.
He's like, step up your game and sort of.
He's an ambush
him.
Bug, if you will.
Wow.
Ah, you're taking
not
it too
funny.
Far.
Not as funny.
Not.
What did you guys think about this issue? Did you like it?
I've liked the Flash series throughout. I feel like they're making a bunch of different choices for the Flash as opposed to like previous runs. I feel like he's always just like doing different like time travel things. And this, like he's screwed up and the whole city lost power and that it set off all these events. It's a very like everything's interwoven in a nice way.
The art has just made this book so amazing to me.
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty.
It's every issue has been an amazing adventure. What was upsetting was the last page of like, now we're going to reintroduce the Speed Force again. I was like, no.
Well, yeah, they explained it like 3 times, the Speed Force.
They've explained it 2 times. This is a new continuity. I will say I've chatted with the guys about the Speed Force stuff and about the book in general.
It's meth. I'll spoiler alert.
It's we all do.
Yeah, I'm slipping into the Speed Force tonight.
I'm on Speed Force.
Wake me up, yeah.
They have. They're trying to give everything, even though it's kind of a pseudoscience. They're trying to give it a little bit of a science basis. They're trying to give it you a chance to research things and look online for terms that they mentioned and things like that.
I love that about.
They should have a guest appearance by that Japanese physics guy that's in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the other guy. Who's the other? Who's the two physics guys? That are
there's
Albert Einstein.
No. We're talking about deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, deGrasse. Did you have Neil deGrasse Tyson,
who is doing a show on the Nerdist Channel, YouTube.com/Nerdist?
Yeah,
so
wow, that's what I call crossover.
They should have him show up and explain.
Agreed.
The Speed Force to Flash in a friendly,
that'd
chuckly
awesome.
Way.
And the, yeah.
That makes
and the
us all comfortable.
Just be photos of him being like,
huh. And then the Japanese guy comes in.
The only problem is that all they could say, you'd open the comic and they'd be like, the Speed Force is bullshit. And then that would be the end, which, like, I don't know. That's a heartbreaking.
15 blank pages of bits of ads.
You wasted $3 or the draw the line at $2.99 or whatever it is.
And, guys, that's it for the stack. All right, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Hold on.
For that, we're going to go over to Boothman. Yay, Boothman. All right, Boothman, you want to read off the first question?
We had a question from Twitter.
Oh,
holy shit.
That's never happened before.
I'm live tweeting during the show. So,
yes.
TD Spidey 616, who's come to the show a bunch of times.
Yeah,
He said, since H. John Benjamin guest stars in Ugly Americans apparently tomorrow, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
And Ed Helms.
and at Helms
tomorrow
Jesus.
Night.
Wow. That's a responsible viewer right there.
What is your favorite H. John Benjamin role?
Oh, wow.
He does one fucking role. He's H. John Benjamin.
His voice.
He's H. John Benjamin.
I love his voice.
He's a guy with a very, this is how my girl puts it, and she's right. He's a guy with a very handsome voice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
His voice is That's handsome. True.
How would you describe your own voice?
Here's what's good about my voice is I just do this one voice, so they can't replace me, you know? Like, I don't do impressions. Like, if I did, like, a Morgan Freeman. They got, like, three guys that could do that.
Yeah.
But I just do my voice.
No one can do you.
Yeah.
There's no Kurt sound alike.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been a curse on you. Been a real albatross for you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like I said, we didn't hire him.
Yeah.
Keep coming back.
Do you guys have an opinion, favorite, other than Kurt, obviously, favorite H. John Benjamin part?
Well, he's done a bunch of different versions of his voice.
And describe how they're different from the other ones.
And maybe we
please,
should just
in a nutshell.
Yeah. Archer. It's great. It's a great voice. Archer.
Archer is definitely...
Yeah, Archer is great.
Archer's awesome.
Archer's very good.
Coach well, haven't heard my episode yet.
Yeah.
So also, maybe that'll be your favorite.
That's my favorite.
The stuff on this one, I mean, it's already aired, I guess, by the time we're on, but that in the booth, that made me laugh my ass off because Callie turns into a man to get a job.
Yeah, no, I saw the preview for it. It looks awesome. Yeah. Very funny. Yeah.
So.
Cool.
So that episode.
So by this time, you've already seen it.
Spidey TV 616. Let's get the first audience question.
So not only do we have comics for the questions today, but we also got Ugly American posters.
Nice.
Awesome.
Brought. So that's awesome. So first question. This is from Naveen. Navin from Long Island.
Nice.
Which comic book superhero can Randall win against in a fight?
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know, man. By the way, I did make a Randall in DCU. I did do that. And,
awesome.
They give you great tools to make it, by the way. But I don't know who he could beat. I mean, he's undead, so.
Like, what's his power? Like, how?
Yeah.
His power is he's hard to kill.
Right. Mm-hmm. He can replace himself.
Yeah, go for the long con. Just outlive him. Yeah.
I mean, I got to imagine there'd be fucking in it. Like, to,
sure.
You know?
On your side or on the villain, the quote unquote villain?
Randall's pretty into everything.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So is Kurt.
Not to that extent.
I think he's the expert here, Justin.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's a heightened version of me. It's not the same, you know.
Whew.
I think I wear a condom a little bit more than Randall does.
Oh, I like you said a little bit more.
A little bit.
Yeah,
marginally.
Yeah, just percentage-wise.
If they look nice, well, you know, it's fine.
Condoms?
Do you guys have any thoughts? Who could?
I wear condoms for the look, mostly.
I try them all. Cool. I like them.
Uh-huh. I just like feeling. Never mind.
I would like.
Next show, do you guys want to just wear condoms? What do you think?
I'm wearing.
Yeah, are you not wearing a condom?
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
I would like to see Solomon Grundy and his character.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah, that's a great one.
That's
dude.
Sort of a tete-a-tete.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say
zombie off.
Justin, any opinions?
I think just well, he's a strong zombie. I was going to say like a horde of zombies because maybe you would connect with different ones. And or maybe befriend them.
It would be more like I would trick whoever I was fighting into, like, you know, let me stay and not pay rent for a while. That would be more the
like what's the dumbest superhero? Because I feel like that
the
you
dumbest
might have a chance
superhero
against...
Matter
Eater. Yeah, because Randall don't have no powers, man.
No, he's smart. He just has a bad power.
Matter Eater Lad is smart.
Yeah,
really?
Who?
Yeah. Matter Eater Lad.
Matter Eater Lad is from the Legion of Superheroes. His power is eating matter.
My power. I just ate matter. What? All right. Well, you know what? That's a great matchup.
There you go.
All right. Boy.
Matter?
Huh?
Yeah.
It could just be an eating.
You guys would be great roommates.
All right.
Cool. All right. Let's get the next question, Booth Man.
Next question is from Andy from Brooklyn. Terminator, Total Recall. Does Kindergarten Cop get a remade before Eraser?
Ooh.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Eraser?
Yeah, Eraser.
Listen, Kindergarten Cop is still a classic a little bit.
Yeah. There's never been a movie like it, to be honest.
With those kids talking to Arnold, Eraser don't have no... Eraser's just awful all the way through.
Yeah.
Come on.
Your luggage.
Eraser's like what made the railgun appear in like first-person shooter games, I think. That's what Eraser only
That's its greatest
for.
Credit on IMDb.
Because you're like, that'd be a cool gun to shoot
at someone. The problem with remaking Eraser is, what is the concept of Eraser?
He erases you.
Yeah.
Boom!
You're erased.
Boom!
It's like that show. What are all those shows now? Like the lady cop that's like the blonde chick that was married to Howard.
Oh, just
Stern
think
in the movie.
Of like any sort of noun, and that's a lady cop show right now.
But the ones on now where she helps you disappear, like Mary McCormick.
The Disappearer?
Yeah.
There's Maria Bello, right? And Mary
well,
McCormick.
Maria Bello,
they look like the same chick, and they both
was
a cop show.
Yeah.
Perfect. Prime Suspect.
Oh,
in plain sight. In plain sight.
Oh, wow. You boot Fantastic Four, but you're like, Prime Suspect. It's Prime Suspect.
Oh, my God.
Well,
do you watch
that?
Were you going to...
We
do
all
you watch Bones,
that.
Too? Who
What's
watches Bones? I want to know who the
hey.
Fuck watches that.
Hey.
I don't, tell me the difference between Bones and Castle. Real quick.
Are they not the same show?
Did you guys see... I'm not even going to... I should
yeah,
not mention
yeah, well,
no,
okay.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Fox is nonstop and playing these promos for Bones.
Yeah.
She's like, she's going to give birth, but to
It's
why?
Been on that fucking long, yet they're doing pregnancy episodes.
Right.
Who watches Bones?
Out while she's screaming, as if she maybe gives birth to a pile of bones.
That would be the ultimate payoff.
Yeah.
Andrew it's Shaw. A lot.
Yeah.
She does look like a bag of bones. Dude, there's a lot of jagged edges on Bones, dude. But
cool.
You've never
By
in
design.
Your life, and I mean all of you are people to watch it, you never go, dude, did you DVR Bones from me?
Yeah.
Did you miss Bones? It's not like Fringe or something. I said about Fringe, not
Fringe
Bones.
Fringe is very good, yeah. I
Fringe
pray that
great.
We're never opposite Bones on the internet.
Where?
We're.
We or Fringe?
No, well,
who
either one.
Who put a baby in Bones, dude?
Yeah.
Who would
put
do
a baby
that?
In Bones?
What happened to this show?
Huh? Well, I mean, actually, I forget the question, to be honest.
Cool, let's
Fuck
get the next
bones.
One, please.
That's the main
All right,
answer
that's
to
it. Next question. It's from Daniel from Queens. How much should fan opinion affect stories? For example, when fans don't like the end of a story arc and want to change. Is this relating to a certain video game, Daniel? Because there's a video game that actually did this.
Mass
recently.
Effect 3?
Mass Effect?
Mass Effect 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mass Effect 3, I feel fucking cheated by that game, dude. Like, that it was like a 9.5 in every fucking review. It's the most dull. They took everything interesting out of it.
Well, video game reviews, to be fair, not to be like, comic reviews are amazing and really well written across the board, but video
I
games reviews
them.
Are like, that was a really bad video game. 9.
Well, right. I thought the scale for video games is like 9 to 10, with 9.3 being like the lowest, right? Possible.
Nah, dude, it depends on who you go to, all right? So I go on Game Rankings, which compiles, it's like a Rotten Tomatoes of games. But if you go on like a GameSpot, that is... Their ratings are harsh, so like a 6 might be a game you might like.
Which is still pretty fantastic.
Yeah. They'd have an article about it on there, like, listen, we give 6s, but that means better than average, so... Yeah.
They had to be like, listen.
Yeah, 6 is like more than 50% of it was amazing.
Yeah. But you go like IGN, that, they like everything. You know, you got to mix them all together.
So what do you guys think, though? Should fan input affect how things happen?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't know. It depends. I really think that, right like, there. A good example of that... Is like knowing you have like a crappy project like Snakes on a Plane and then having that.
What? No.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
He wrote the script for Snakes on a Plane.
That's my baby.
The fan input where he was like, I'm sick and tired of these motherfuckers.
Oh, I see.
You know how
that
fan.
That was awesome.
Yes.
You know how fan input should work? Is like when something is like run its course or something. You got like one fan who knows what he's doing who like takes it over for you because he's a fan of the like Star Wars. Because you ever see the interview George Lucas and they're like, you're gonna make another. Star Wars thing, and he goes, why would I do that? Everybody just tells me I suck and they hate me. Like,
yeah.
Or something like, I'm like, oh, George Lucas.
Yeah, I know.
And but like, if he had gotten like a fan, you know, like some guy, somebody else had directed that was a fan of the movies, that would have been better. But like a you know, not some jerk off fan, but some, you know,
yeah.
A professional that's a fan of you like
a
that.
Professional
when,
fan.
When you
well,
hit
like
your low T years.
That. I feel like, well, who is it? Like Topher Grace, who like cut down all of the prequels into like one movie. It's like fans are making
it's
more
dude,
Star
what
Wars
happens
stuff.
Is guys who make cool shit like that, like George Lucas. Because these are his low T years, okay?
Yeah.
Adopted all his kids, testosterone low. He makes
got
those.
No drive.
So to make something awesome, you have to have testosterone. Like that's literally that's the force.
You can almost see.
Like, can I just tell you what the force is?
Yeah, you have to have a lot
it's
of testosterone.
Ball juice makes.
Right. You can
so
almost...
that's what makes Han Solo shoot a guy into the table first.
You heard it here.
It's because you got balls, and then as that drains, you get tits. You're like, well, maybe Greedo shot at him first, like.
I totally agree with you. Somebody really manly like Topher Grace has to take over.
That guy's all balls.
Topher Grace is pumping
all
fucking
balls.
He puts his testosterone into
right
his projects.
Now, bro.
Yeah. If you see the footage of George Lucas directing, he was like, have him shoot him, I don't know, my balls, my balls.
And it was a better movie.
A better movie.
Cool.
Better movie.
Do you let fan input influence what you guys do on Ugly Americans at all?
No, no, not at all.
Good.
I mean, if that's not entirely true, actually, because like characters like Doug Qualaman was just like a background character. And he resonated so well with everyone, first with like the animators and the writers and everything, that we just kept sticking him in there. And he's become like a huge fan favorite. So maybe a little bit. But I think it starts with the people working on the show, you know, really digging something that's working. And usually that trickles down and the fans dig it too. So,
right. Dude, if a fan has a criticism that's kind of funny, then I'm totally like into it. You know what I mean? It just not some dumb shit like where you like when somebody tells you they like the old Simpsons better than, you know, like the first season of
from
Simpsons.
From the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, I've heard a guy say it to me like that was when it was funny when it was all fucking therapy jokes. You know, really, that was the better one. But right. But some, I don't know. I mean, if you in Mad Magazine, they had like a funny. Them ripping Walking Dead was like a funny Mad Magazine about Walking Dead. Like, those are all valid critics. Because that show's awesome, but it's like all boring and then one awesome part.
Yeah.
That's and then the rest of it's like, yeah. I got to go to town. Don't go to town. Then they go to town. You got to go after that guy that went to town.
Yeah.
And see if that guy's okay. Like, that's the whole fucking thing.
A lot of town talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's get the last people. Question.
Last
here.
Question. This is from Jason from The Village.
Ooh.
Pancakes
like
waffles.
The movie?
Oh, what are you doing?
What?
Yeah, he's from the movie The Village. He made it out.
Congratulations.
Spoiler.
So the question is, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles. Oh, got him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's a gotcha question. That's why he laughed.
Yeah.
It is going down.
Hey, you're saying that depends waffles? On the circumstances, man. That's not like a... That depends on the selection
you would
of
go
waffles
back
and pancakes. That's not
what's a pancake day?
Dude, Clinton Street Bakery is a pancake day, dude, right over here. Yeah. On,
I thought you meant like you woke up and you're like, well, I worked last night, so I need pancakes.
No, waffles, I got to be somewhere, you know, that makes like waffles awesome, and they're known for their waffles.
Here's how you know you live in Williamsburg. Down the street from me, a place just opened up that only makes waffles.
Yeah.
Sandwich waffles, like with every kind of filling you can imagine. How are they staying
We've gone
in
too
business?
Far.
Making waffles. Anyway,
we're too
I
decadent.
Said waffles. They've sold me.
Yeah. Waffle sandwiches is the only answer. Yeah. I'm saying waffles with pancake in the middle, smothered in maple syrup, and me smothered in maple syrup.
Oh, just
I like
wearing
that.
A condom, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Lots of ball juice on there.
Yep. Oh. That's what I mean by maple syrup is ball juice.
Pete, what about you?
Waffles, you can do more stuff with them, so I'm all about waffles.
Do more stuff?
Yeah.
You can hide stuff in the little nooks and crannies.
Right,
in there.
Exactly.
You know, you could do chicken and pancakes if you want.
Not as cool.
No,
you
can
do bacon and sausage with pancakes, though.
It's true.
Listen, they have their own merits, dude.
Let's be honest, guys. They're pretty similar.
Old pancakes as coasters.
Let's
say
you find yourself at an IHOP. You're going to get the waffles, as you tell me. Through no fault of your own, things didn't work out how you wanted. You're at IHOP. Now, what are you going to get? Waffles?
He's gotcha. So. Now, that's a gotcha question right there. That's a gotcha question.
And that's it for your audience questions. Woo! Thank you, Boothman. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. All right, here in the Week of Geek, we're going to hit you with a couple of pop culture topics, things that have happened elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing, you guys remember the comic book series The Great Unknown? I think we talked about it a lot on the show. We really liked it a lot. Yorma Taccone from The Lonely Island is actually going to be directing the movie version of that. You guys looking forward to that? And what do you want to see? Pete, I know you were a big fan of the series, right?
Yeah. It was really fun, very imaginative. I really liked it. You hope that when somebody signs on for a project like that, they really keep the heart of the comic.
That comic was crazy.
It was crazy.
What was it? I never.
It was about a dude who was an inventor, and then someone stole his invention. So for like many issues, he was just mad. So
which
I don't
is
know
understandable.
How... Yeah, but I don't know.
When somebody steals something, it's upsetting.
Yo, cool. I'll bring back your waffle maker.
You better. It's been 3 weeks. Yeah.
You stole my condom idea.
Yeah.
I'm just eating pancakes.
I stole your wearing a condom everywhere idea. My bad. And then he gets involved in like a secret organization that invents everything, basically.
Yeah.
So I think it's a cool idea. Some action has to happen, though.
Yeah, I think so. But I think there's a real possibility there. I think that the creators of the book were sort of coming around to the ideas. They wrote it. Definitely, if you haven't picked it up, if you haven't read it, pick it up because it's really cool and really interesting, both visually and in terms of obviously the
visually,
words.
Very exciting. I don't know how you would translate that.
So, yeah, I'm really curious to see how it happens on screen. Next thing, another thing on screen, there's been a lot of questions about who the aliens are going to be in the Avengers movies, right? People have said it's the Skrulls.
It's fake Skrulls.
I thought.
Well, Joss Whedon actually said, no, they definitely are not Skrulls, and they're definitely not the Kree. They're something else. There was a commercial that came out this week that had a better look at the aliens, and now a lot of people, this is going to get real nerdy, you guys, are saying they're the Carbonites, who are the race that Beta Ray Bill comes from.
Wow.
Ray Bill. For
Beta
those
Ray
of you guys
Bills,
are,
really?
Beta Ray Bills.
Wow.
What do you guys think? Do you want to see the Avengers go up against a bunch of Beta Ray Bills?
I really liked the Walt Simonson warrior. I did, but
that's too dorky, too quick for the world.
Did you just say too dorky?
Let's cool it out a little bit. Like, why do we have to go that deep? It's already so much Asgard stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you, dude.
Yeah, let's just that's enough.
Well,
let's just have everyone fight.
Everybody hates horses, right?
Yeah.
No, many
everybody
people
hates
like
horses.
Horses.
So seeing Avengers
they shut
beat
down
up,
the TV show Luck because too many horses died.
And then first episode of
did
Game
those
Thrones,
horses die
horse
of boredom watching the show Luck?
That's a Luck slam right there.
All right, let's move on to another Marvel movie that's coming out that they're working on right now. They have narrowed down who they want to be the director on Captain America 2. They have a couple of options. They're talking about the writer-director of The Adjustment Bureau, F. Gary Gray, who directed The Italian Job, and two of the directors from Community on NBC, which is pretty weird. I had an idea that I put out on Twitter that I thought was pretty good. Uh-oh. Pete definitely agreed with me on this. I think Michael Bay should direct the next Captain America.
You are an asshole. You are an asshole.
Well, first of
who
all,
who made
I
the
think
last one?
What?
Who was the director of the first of the one that came out?
Captain America.
Yeah,
Captain America.
Captain America directed it.
He directed
it.
He directed
that's
himself.
That's awesome, dude. Right.
I don't know the name.
Oh my god.
Kenneth Branagh?
No, Kenneth Branagh.
He did Thor.
He did Thor.
What? Joe Johnston.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Director of Jurassic Park 3.
Joe Johnson?
Are you saying
the Rocketeer?
Rocketeer,
great movie.
Why would you
Jurassic
say
Park 3 is
Jurassic Park 3 is the only
dude,
good
Captain
Jurassic
America
Park movie.
By the way.
What are you doing?
How corny. How fucking corny was Captain America when he fought? I like the war bonds thing and then like all that like, you know, he's got like his multiracial team of like a Japanese guy in World War II, like that would happen in the 40s. And then,
keep your eye on the Japanese guy, would you?
Yeah, but in the World War II, when they were like doing crazy shit, like, but Captain America, and then, the instead of Hail Hitler, it's Hail Heil Hydra or whatever the fuck. Didn't he punch Hitler personally? Captain America.
Personally.
Wasn't he like Heinrich Himmler? They gave him different names of those propaganda comics.
It was like when he made Wolfenstein for the fucking Nintendo and took all the Nazi symbols out because they didn't want. But you're killing Nazis, but they don't have any swastikas in their hideout, like that kind of weird shit.
Yeah.
Well, they were a little
embarrassed.
They were
secret Nazis, yeah.
They were like, eh.
Plus, they're garish.
Then why am I gunning them down?
No garish. Why am I gunning them down?
With a chain gun.
Let's move on. Last little.
let's move on from your crazy statement that would just ruin Captain America.
Well, okay. You want to go back to that? No. Let's talk about it.
Michael Bay, I'm with him, would be better than the last guy that did it.
I agree.
Sure.
Michael Bay is like hardcore Americana all the time.
Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes. Like a Norman Rockwell with explosions.
Exactly.
Like Captain America's
explosions.
Yes. You're goddamn right.
If a Norman
that's a
Rockwell
idea.
Exploded through a Jasper Johns print.
Yeah.
Into your face.
Captain
Moss. That shot in Transformers 2 of the Transformer for no reason knocking the American flag off the Brooklyn Bridge, that's awesome. That's what we need in Captain America.
To be fair, that's not a whole movie, though.
It could have been. Yeah. It was the thing that made the most sense in Transformers 2.
I didn't watch them either. I wanted to see
them.
Don't ever watch
them.
They're wonderful.
Because it's not like the cartoon was an incredible, like,
The cartoon made a lot more sense.
The cartoon movie was
really good. I saw Megatron choke Starscream, choke the breath out of him, out of a robot.
Yeah.
And Megatron!
Probably shorted some circuits. Probably made sense.
And then Jazz.
He shorted some neck circuits in
there. Yeah, a lot of
And then Jazz, the Scatman Carruthers. Who, by the way, I mean, it's unfair to tell some guy that using his normal voice that he has a racist voice, but
yeah,
it was weird. But then they had like Rasta and Rapper or something, right? You know?
Yeah. It was. Mistakes were made.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, last thing that we're going to talk about before we move on for the Week in Geek. There is going to be an Avengers-themed monorail in Disney World.
What's that?
An Avengers-themed monorail.
Monorail? Say that again. Monorail?
Monorail.
What's that word?
Monorail.
Wow.
Monorail. I can't believe you tricked me into that.
He got you. That's 2 points for Pete. Yeah, that's true. 2 points for Pete. That's amazing. That's what's 1 point per rep? That's more than ever.
Now, my big question about the Avengers theme monorail is, are you going to have to ride the Iron Man monorail, the Captain America monorail, the Hulk monorail, the second Hulk monorail, the Thor monorail, and a couple of other monorails
is
to understand this monorail?
Each car a different member of the Avengers? That's is that how it works?
No, it's just one big monorail.
Wow.
I am so sick of bi-rail trains, I'd love to get on any monorail.
By the way, who gives a shit? I mean, that's like, it's such a boring, it's like, all right, an Avengers something, like, it's a monorail. And I'm like, who? It's like when somebody gave me, like, Spider-Man, like, not the underoos suit, but just, like, with a picture of Spider-Man on, like, socks. And you're like, this is not exciting.
But they're more fun than regular. But given that the choice between those socks and regular socks, what do you choose?
You didn't think that maybe by putting those socks on, you would have powers? That never happened?
No, that's dude. I wanted the shit to look like Spider-Man's shit. You understand?
Oh.
Like, yeah. The underoos they had, it looked like his costume. And then they had some shitty ones where it was just like a picture of him.
Right.
Like, he doesn't fly around with a picture of himself flying.
You know what?
I'm trying to be Spider-Man.
Let's say, though, if you were wearing the ones that look like his costume, you probably would have jumped off a building or something.
If I had gotten my hands on that, very possibly.
See? So then that saved your life. Having shitty underpants saved your life.
That's it for the Week of Geek. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Guys, this is part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
Easy.
All right, yes, you, sir. Come on up.
Yeah.
Woo! Come on.
Yes.
Up.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So how this is going to work?
What's
is
his name?
I'm Jerry.
What's
hey,
up, Jerry?
Nice. Yeah. Welcome, Jerry.
Jerry. Audience, Jerry.
Oh, hey, Jerry. Nice.
That's connection.
Thanks, Boothers.
You're welcome, buddy.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question.
All right.
You listen to all three possible answers, get the correct one, and then go three for three. And you win $25 free.
Awesome possum.
All right. So today's trivia is on ugly Americans. What a coincidence. Yeah. All right.
I don't have a TV.
It's okay.
Yikes.
You'll be fine. All right. Here we go. You ready? Question number one. Here we go. Use the music. It helps. What is the name of the centuries-old wizard in the cartoon Ugly Americans? Is it A, Frank Grimes, B, Leonard Powers, or is it C, Gandalf Potter Merlinski? Is it A, which would be incorrect, or is it B, Leonard Powers?
You can do
it. Yes.
B, yeah! Yeah! Gary!
Real disbelief.
Yeah, here we go. The main character, question number two, the main character has an on and off again girlfriend who is blank. Is it A, a demon, B, a zombie, or C, Canadian?
No!
Play. A? A is correct!
Yeah! Unassisted.
Jerry. All right. Jerry, look at me. You can do this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you,
nice.
Boothers. All right.
It's multiple choice. You better do
thank
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Here we go. Last question.
A lot of pressure on Jerry.
Here we go. Who does this describe? He doesn't talk. He has no genitalia and is usually seen in the background. Is it A, Doug the Koala, B, Luke the Music, or C, Ron Howard's brother? Is it A,
Clint Howard?
Wow.
Clint Howard.
Man, that's a deep slip.
I love that guy.
Apparently not.
A is correct.
Yeah,
Doug the Koala. You, sir, win $25 free. Here you go. Gift cards.
Nice.
All at once. Jerry!
We'll take that for you.
Oh, yep.
There we go. All
I was just taking my mic back. I wasn't.
Nice job, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Congratulations.
All
congratulations.
Watch your step.
Whoa, almost fell.
Yeah. We try to kill one audience member per show, but that's it.
It helps when it happens around stage.
Yeah, there we go. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. A lot of good stuff coming out tomorrow. I'm totally blanking.
You were looking forward to Invincible number 90.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Why is that,
Pete? Invincible is an amazing comic, doing a lot of crazy stuff. Right now, there might be a new Invincible. I'm not sure yet.
There is.
Yeah. Where it's not.
Nope, definitely.
No, it happened last issue.
It happened like 2 issues ago, technically. Yeah.
Well.
He was on the cover of last issue.
Well, okay, fine. Yeah, I guess.
Got him. I'm looking forward to Casanova Avaricia number 3.
Saw that coming to mind.
Oh, yep. Man, what a great comic. Very smart stuff. Yeah, Matt Fraction. Great. As the writer, very good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Skull Kickers number 13 is coming out. That title's great. If you can't figure out what's going on for the title, I don't know what to do for you. But it's a really funny, really enjoyable fantasy riff that's hyper-violent, hyper-hilarious, but also has a huge amount of
heart. Who makes Skull Kicker? Who draws it?
That's Image. There's a guy named Jim Zub who writes it. I'm totally blanking on who draws it, and I'm sorry about that to that guy. But you do a great job, guy. All right, Devin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Fatale number 4.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
I'm a huge fan of Brubaker. Yeah, and this is like he's doing a little bit of like H.P. Lovecraft noir thing.
Yeah, it's a weird turn. It's good, but I'm surprised by it.
Yeah, and he has said the issue that comes out tomorrow is where things go nuts.
Sweet.
Yeah. Dude, remember they were going to make a movie of In the Mountains of Madness or something?
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen now?
Yeah. Rodriguez.
Lame.
Yeah.
Kurt, what are you looking forward to?
I couldn't look at the list, so I don't know what's coming out.
Just make something up,
The last thing I bought was the Reed Fleming World's Toughest Milkman hardcover anthology.
Yeah.
But I don't know when it's coming out, but they're making a martial law anthology of all the martial laws, which I want really bad. Like, martial law, if you've never read martial law, it's a fucking classic.
Cool.
Nice.
And for both of you guys, plug your stuff. Ugly Americans, obviously.
Yeah, so we've got, I guess as of this episode, we'll have 3 more episodes coming out.
One of which is on tonight, if you're watching this on the internet.
If you're watching it live right now, yes, tonight.
Well, tonight and tomorrow night, if you're watching it here live.
Whoa.
Time travel is tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, to make it a little clear, it's at 10:30 on Wednesday nights after South Park on Comedy Central.
Woo. Awesome.
Cool. Kurt?
Ugly Americans, my comedy album, Kurt Metzger Talks to Young People About Sex, is available.
Family
Comedy
album.
Central Records. And Devin did the cover art for free, which is pretty awesome of him.
You guys are best friends.
So you'll do cover art for free? Is that...
That's right. I do cover art for
me.
My email is.
And I'm doing a voice on Aqua Unit Hunger Patrol next week. But I don't know what yet, but I'm recording next week.
Sweet. Awesome. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week, very big show. We're going to have Al Madrigal from The Daily Show is going to be here. And also Axel Alonso, EIC of Marvel Comics, is going to be here talking about Avengers versus X-Men. So don't miss that.
Don't mix that up.
Don't mix them up, because that would be weird. Then we get a composite Al Madrigal. Axel Alonso, I got to stop talking about that.
Yeah, yep.
Couple of things to plug. Also, you, if you're watching this on Nerdist Live or not live, subscribe, youtube.com/Nerdist. There's probably a subscribe button up there. If you're listening to it, I pointed at a thing. Don't really worry about it too much. What else should we plug, guys?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
We're at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Hit us on there.
Yeah, and check us out, comicbookclublive.com. And, of course, the podcasts are on Nerdist.com as well. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Devin for being on the show. Kurt. Boothman. We want to thank everybody at Nerdist, everybody at Midtown Comics, everybody at Pianos, everybody at Broadway Video. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here at Pianos next week.
At 8 o'clock.
Next
we'll
week
be back
at 8
to,
o'clock.
We'll have it at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but show's still free, so check it out. Tell your friends. Good night.